Hello. Today we're going to be learning Parshas Bahar from the Tzener Benna. And this is an important Parsha because first it's the year of Shemitah, which we're right now in, and the entire Parshas Bahar talks about Shemitah. And second, the theme of the Parsha is how do we get to a place where we have the character traits to accept the Torah? And we're right before Shavuos. So both these topics are going to be really important this year, and I look forward to sharing with you the thoughts of the Tzener Arena. Again, if you have any insights or you want to share anything with me, if you're listening to this, I'm on Instagram, Shira Hochheimer. So please feel free to reach out. I'd love to be in touch with you. The parsha begins, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe b'har Sinai lemar. Hashem said to Moshe at Har Sinai, saying, and then it goes on to discuss the laws of Shemitah, Daber el Bnei Yisrael, etc. So there's a famous question of Rashi, Ma inyan Shemitah etzel Har Sinai? Why is the topic of Shemitah written next to a reference at Har Sinai? And there's Rashi answers that all the laws that were told at Har Sinai, all laws were told at Har Sinai, including the laws of Shemitah. The Tzener Arena proposes a different answer that frames the Parsha in a way that helps us prepare for Shavuos. It's going to help us guide us in the weeks leading up to Shavuos as to which midah, which character trait should we focus on so we can prepare to accept the Torah as we accept it anew every single year. The Tzener Arena begins the Parsha with a pasuk from Mishlei, as we've seen him do in most Parshios. The pasuk says, Lev tzadik yehege la'anos, ufi rishayim yabia ra'os, which translates to mean, the heart of a righteous person rehearses his answer, meaning he doesn't say his answer off the cuff. In contrast, the mouth of a Rasha blurts out evil things. A Rasha is impetuous, while a Tzaddik is thoughtful. The Tzener Arena looks at this pasuk as a contrast between two opposite personalities at its root as to what is the difference between a Tzaddik and a Rasha. The Tzaddik thinks. He recognizes that just because he thinks something, it doesn't mean it's correct. So before he answers anything, before he says something that might be foolish, he thinks about it before responding. The Tzener Arena says that everything a tzaddik says is said with shiflus, with a sense of smallness, a sense of humility, and it's also said softly, with respect for the other person. In contrast, when a Rasha speaks, he doesn't think. He just blurts out whatever comes to his mind, assuming that he's the most intelligent person in the room, and he talks with arrogance and disdain to the other people around him. The way a person talks reveals an inner part of his heart that he might try to hide from others. Being humble is the most appropriate and important midah of all the midos. This midah is so important that the Shechina will only rest on a person who has the midah of anava, humility. The pasuk says, "Marom v'kadosh eshkon v'estaka ushval ruach." I, Hashem, dwell on high with holiness, and yet with the contrite and the low in spirit will I dwell. Hashem is telling us, although Hashem is great and high and holy, he comes down and he chooses to spend time with the person who has this midah of humility. The Torah, which we were given on Har Sinai, can only find a place to rest, will only make its home with a person who is humble and who has low spirit, like the tzaddik who only thought and only spoke with a sense of humility. To explain this, the Tzener Arena brings a pasuk that says, Hoy kol tzamei lechu l'mayim. All those who are thirsty, go to the water. The Torah is compared very often to water. Water always runs from a high place to the low place. It can't go from a low elevation to a high elevation without some mechanical interference. The Torah then will only, as it bringing this analogy one step forward, the Torah will flow from a person who considers himself great to a person who can carry himself with anava, the tzaddik who thinks versus the rasha who's impetuous and considers himself great. We find that this happened at the time of Matan Torah. Hashem looked at all the mountains in the world and he said, I don't want to give the Torah on a mountain that's very tall or very wide, and instead, he chose Har Sinai, the smallest mountain. The Tzener Arena now answers the question, Ma inyan Shemitah itzel Har Sinai? So why does it bring the topic of Shemitah when it's talking about Har Sinai? And The answer is that the commandment of Shemitah requires that people let the ground rest for a full year. We can't plow or plant or sow or even collecting things that grow on their own or gather them or work in a vineyard. We can't dig or prune during Shemitah. This is done so that a person will know and recognize that he doesn't own anything. Everything should be free. It doesn't need his touch to make it happen. This shows that a person can't become so caught up into what he produces. It's not his field or his vineyard. Everything he has, everything he is, comes from Hashem because Hashem has bestowed upon him a gift. After the year of Shemitah, a person realizes that all of his wealth is not because of something he did. Everything belongs to the real Baal HaBayis, to Hashem, who is the master of the world. And so therefore, how can a person have the arrogance if we recognize that everything comes from Hashem? And after the year of Shemitah, we then are able to learn Torah because we have become more humble. The Pasuk says, Sheva Shavasos, that 7 weeks of years, which means we count 7 Shemitos, one after the other, for each Shemitah being 7 years, which adds up to 49 years. The 50th year is called Yovel. The year of Yovel is made holy. It's consecrated when the shofar is blown after the new year. And at this time, all the slaves are set free. They're not allowed to serve you anymore. If someone bought a field from somebody, they need to return it to its original owner at the Yovel year. The Pasuk then says, Lo sonu ish esreihu. You should not defraud each other. You shouldn't trick your friend when you sell him the field into paying more than the field is worth. You need to make known to this friend how many years are left to the Yovel. If it's a lot of years, then you can rent or basically rent the field for a higher price. If there are only a few years left to Yovel, then the field is worthless because the field won't produce as much produce between now and when it will return to its original owner. So the owner has to calculate based on how many years of production this field will supply. The Rebbeinu Bachaye asks the question, why are the topics of Shemitah and Yovel next to the command not to defraud another person when selling property? He answers that if a person doesn't keep Shemitah, then he will lose his money and end up poor. He will end up needing to sell his belongings. First, he'll need to sell his clothing, and then if he does tshuva, everything goes back to normal. But if he doesn't do tshuva, he's going to need to sell his fields. And if he doesn't do that and he doesn't understand what's going on, then he's going to get punished further. He's not even going to have any bread. A person doesn't keep Shemitah. Why would a person not keep Shemitah? They aren't going to keep Shemitah because they feel unless they're involved in this world, unless they're taking care of everything, the field won't grow. They won't have any money. And so if they're putting everything in their own hands, they're going to end up losing everything. A person who trusts in Hashem, Hashem will repay him. In a few psukim, the pasuk says another phrase, lo sonu ish esreihu, which means that a person shouldn't cause his friend pain with words or trick him. They should be careful to make sure not to have a friend cry because of a person's actions. Making someone cry is a very serious offense in the Torah. Chazal say that from the time the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, all the gates of prayer were locked, except for one, the gate of tears, where the prayers could rise on those tears to heaven, has never been locked. So the gate of tears allows tefillos to get to Hashem. Hashem always accepts tefillos that are said with tears and weeping. So let's say a person hurts somebody else, and he hurts them so badly that he cries because he's so offended and hurt and embarrassed and ashamed, and his heart is breaking into a million pieces inside of him, and he cries out in his pain to Hashem, please Hashem, help me, I'm so hurt. Hashem will come and punish that other person because he will have heard the tefillah of the person who is crying. A few pasukim later, we return to the topic of Shemitah. The pasuk begins with a question. Chisomru, if you will say, Manochal, what will we eat in this year of Shemitah? If you ask that question, what are we going to eat in the seventh year? because we can't plow or harvest. So a person should say to themselves that Hashem is the one who commanded that I should lay my field, I should not work my field in the seventh year. He will provide. And indeed, there's going to be a blessing, a bracha in the sixth year, and it will grow so much produce that you will have enough produce to last for the year 6, 7, and 8. And it's going to be so much that it's going to last until the ninth year. But let's review some of the main concepts that we found in this week's parsha. We started off with the parsha talked about Har Sinai, that these laws were said in Har Sinai. And the Tzen Rebbe said that we're supposed to learn a very important lesson in that the Torah was given on Har Sinai because the Har Sinai was a small mountain, and the Torah needs to be, can only live with a person who doesn't consider himself so great. Shemitah teaches the exact same lesson. We learn that Hashem is in charge. It's not my actions which are producing results, but rather I understand that everything I have is because Hashem has decided that that's what I should have. It's not because of anything that I did that's so great. Next, we learned that a person shouldn't be corrupt in business. Why would a person be corrupt? Because if we don't believe in Hashem, if we don't believe Hashem is controlling everything we have, then he's going to try to get better, to compete with another human being and say, I'm more important than this other human being, so I'm going to cheat him in financial matters. And also this same idea applies why a person would insult somebody, why would they would hurt them with their words? Because I'm trying to dominate another human being. I'm trying to show that I'm more important. I don't believe that Hashem is in charge of both of us, but rather I believe that I'm the most important, and so I could put down another person to feel more important. But that's not the case. We learned at Har Sinai that we are meant to understand how in comparison to Hashem we're also low. We learned from Shemitah that Hashem is in charge of this world, it's nothing that we can do. And so when we take these lessons to heart, when we understand that Hashem is in charge, Hashem is that who we are, that we are the same as everybody when it's in comparison to Hashem, we're all nobody. When we read this parsha in the lead up to Shavuos, we're now going to be ready to accept the Torah anew, because we're going to have a focus on where we stand and what we can accomplish and how important the Torah is for us, what a gift it is. And we will learn it with humility, and that will allow us to gain an appreciation and understanding the Torah that we would never had we not had this humility that comes from learning this week's parsha. Have a good Shabbos.